Hello and welcome back to IT Camps. I'm John Weston with Microsoft, and our IT Camps today we're covering on Windows Server 2012. And specifically in this module, we're going to take a look at Hyper-V, and within Hyper-V, we're going to talk about the new scalability features. We've made some major changes with the Hyper-V 3.0 in Windows Server 2012, and we want to take a look at some of the new capabilities in a large-scale environment for Hyper-V. So our agenda for this section is we're going to take a look at what are the new scalability improvements that we made with Hyper-V. Then we'll take a look at why should you care? What does it really mean to you? And then we'll do a little bit of a slightly deep technical dive or an overview of what some of these features mean. And then a little bit later, we'll take a look at a demo. So let's talk about scalability, some of the changes that we've made in Windows Server 2012 Hyper-V. So here's the specific improvements, and we're going to go into each one of these in a little bit more detail, but let me just kind of hit some of the highlights here. We're going to talk about expanded processor and memory support. So we're going to take a comparison between what the feature set of Hyper-V was in Windows Server 2008 R2, specifically SP1, and the new Windows Server 2012. We'll talk about each of those here in just a minute. Then we're going to take a look at the virtual non-uniform memory access, the way we changed the way that you look at memory from a virtualization perspective. Then we'll take a look at some of the networking changes, specifically at the adapter hardware acceleration capabilities and how to turn on those features inside your virtual machines. Then we'll take a look at offload data transfer, otherwise known as ODX. This is the capability of moving things very quickly, assuming you have the storage array that supports this new feature. We'll talk about much larger disks that we support with the new 4K sector disk. We'll talk about how to access your fiber channel with the new virtual fiber channel to your virtual machines. SMB or server message block. We have a new version 3.0, which we talked about in that first module, but again, we'll mention here in some of the new high availability features. Improved virtual machine import capabilities. So if you want to bring in a virtual machine from another machine, we'll talk about how we've improved some of that scripting capabilities. And then finally, the new file format for our storage in virtual machines, VHDX, and how we've improved and what that means with the new file system. So why should you care about these new scalability features in Hyper-V in Windows Server 2012? We all know that you're starting to use virtualization, and so now we want to take it kind of to the next level. Yes, Windows Server has been an enterprise solution for many years, but people are really starting to push the density that they're doing with a number of different servers running on one hardware. And so now we need to kind of take that to the next level. How can we accelerate that capabilities and really push the envelope of what's possible with virtualization? So here, this provides your IT organizations with a wider range of enterprise applications of using in your virtualized environment. No longer is it just take those five servers and consolidate it down to one. We really want to push it. What are some of the upper limits that we can do with virtualization? This also increases the high end for high performance processors and memory configurations, while in turn allowing you to support the deployment and operation of these mission critical applications in your virtualized environment. We want to get to a point where there's no applications that you can't take to a virtualized environment. So next we're going to take a look at some of the technical overview. We just introduced these different features in the scalability, but now we want to drill into each one and take a look at what is really possible. First, let's talk about expanded processor and memory support. Now here, this slide does a comparison between Windows Server 2008 R2, and I think the specs here are on SP1, which is the latest current production that we had in Server 2008. Now with the new Windows Server 2012, let's take a look at some of the capabilities. So from the host operating system environment, that is the underlying operating system that we run, we can go logical processors were 64, now we have 320. Physical memory from a 1 terabyte limitation up to 4 terabytes. Virtual processors per host from 512 virtual processors, now we have over 2,048 virtual processors from one server. Now then, next let's take a look inside of our virtual machines. What are some of the specs that have changed? Used to, we could only have virtual processors, we're limited to 4. Now we support up to 64 virtual processors. That's not just for the whole server, that's inside each guest operating system. How much machine memory can we have available? Used to be limited to 64 gigabytes. Now you can have up to 1 terabyte of memory for each guest operating system. Now I don't know too many servers that have a lot, terabytes and terabytes of memory, but we are really starting to push some of that upper end. Next, talking about active virtual machines per server. We used to be limited to 384 concurrent virtual machines on a single server. Now we've reached over 1,000 virtual machines. That's density. I don't know of anybody that's taken 1,000 servers and consolidated it down to one physical server yet, but if you have enough memory, if you have enough processing power, and I guess enough disks to be able to support 1,000 machines, it is possible with this new Windows Server 2012. And then finally, our clustering capability. Clustering is having lots of nodes for failover capability. We used to be limited to only 16 nodes in a cluster. Now we can go up to 64 clusters. And how many virtual machines can we support inside of one cluster has gone from 1,000 to 4,000 servers. Next, we're going to talk about our virtual non-uniform memory access. Non-uniform memory access talks about how the dynamic memory can be configured, you know, how we're going to deal with that dynamic memory for our host perspective. So you have lots of virtual machines, and we introduced in Windows Server 2008 how dynamic memory can go, where we can grow up the number of memory that's allocated to an individual server. Now with NUMA, this allows the guest operating system and the applications to make intelligent decisions about how to thread memory and then how to make that memory allocation across all the different virtual machines that are running on your server. The next new feature that we talked about is the network adapter hardware acceleration. So as you can see in the couple of screenshots here, you have to have the particular virtual machine network adapters that allow us to be able to have this feature. Three of the individual features of this capability are the virtual machine queuing, which employs the hardware packet filtering to the virtual machines, IPsec, task offload. As we know, IP security is always important in our TCP/IP network, but that can take some overhead in our network protocol, and so now we can offload that to the network cards. And then finally, our single root IO, or SRIVO as it's known, are new features in these adapters that we now support with virtual machines. One of the other issues that we've had in a very large environment is moving a virtual machine from one server to another. So let's say, for example, we've got a shared storage, like a SAN drive, and I want to move a virtual machine from one machine to the other. In the past, we had to copy that entire VHD file up to a server, move it across the network, store it back, potentially even on the same storage array, to the new server. Now, we do have to have storage arrays that are aware of this ODX capability, but as this diagram shows, instead of copying all the physical file, reading it up, copying it over the network, writing it back down, potentially to the same array storage, so here if we have the actual data transfer to stay within the same storage array, all we need to pass is the token. I just saw a demo of this the other day where we moved a 100 gigabyte VHDX file in less than 10 seconds. Now actually the file itself didn't get copied. The file stayed on the storage array, but what really copied was the token between the two host servers, which makes our file copy or being able to move servers very quickly in a very, very large scale environment. The next new feature we've got is the support for large sector disk. Now as we get more and more virtualization, the requirement for larger and larger disk continues to increase. And so here, this is a new feature in Server 2012 that supports 512-byte sector format, which replaces the 4096-byte or 4K format that we've had. So this allows the disk to read these 4K physical byte sectors into internal cache, which then contains a 512-byte location sector or logical sector referred to where it's going to actually do the write to the disk. In our new Server 2012, this is supported in our VHD files in the native 4K format. But then I'll talk a little bit later how we've got this new VHDX file format where we can get beyond the 1 terabyte limitation that we've had in the past. Next, I want to talk about some dynamic memory changes and improvements that we've had. Now, when you create a virtual machine for the first time, you can set the dynamic memory settings from the get-go. In the past, you had to go set it to standard and then come back in and modify the virtual machine at a later time. As you can see from these two screenshots here, in the settings of a virtual machine, you have the capabilities of setting an initial or minimum memory that's set and a maximum memory. Most people ask me, why would I ever want to set a maximum if this is dynamic, allowing it to grow? Well, that's a great question. If I have, let's say, for example, 4 terabytes of memory in the host server, I don't want it to grow over that amount. If I do, I'm going to get into a swapping situation, and therefore performance is going to degrade. So you always want to think about and consider a maximum setting for your virtual machine settings. And you go in here and can set some of the smart paging capabilities and can control with the applications based upon what's running in that virtual machine, how it's going to perform to swap in or out that virtual memory that it needs for the virtual machines. Next, we're going to take a look at what are your settings in dynamic memory on a running and production environment. So here's another screenshot taking a look at a Virtual Machine Manager to show you what are your machine settings currently for the virtual machine and how much memory it's currently using. The commandlet in PowerShell is git-vm, which as you see from this other screenshot, which shows you how you can look at the information of how much memory that virtual machine is currently using. Now more of our virtual environments are continuing to attach to additional resources, potentially through fiber channel. Here with Hyper-V 3.0 in Windows Server 2012, we have a new virtual fiber channel capabilities. This allows our guest virtual machines to be able to connect to our fiber channel that may be physically present on our servers. This includes support for virtual SAN drives. We can allow support for live migration, so I can move servers between one shared storage to another, and multiple I/O paths. So this allows us to be able to multiple access to the same physical storage. Also, another new feature in Hyper-V 3.0 is our SMB 3.0, our server message block. Lots of great new capabilities here, giving us the capability of having storage on another server for our virtual machines, allowing us to put the VHD files on a file share instead of on a local attached storage. So here are some of the new features of SMB 3.0, including SMB Direct, directory leasing, encryption, so we can encrypt that traffic as it communicates between the two servers, and then SMB multi-channel, so I can create multiple channels between my host and source destination. And one of the other improvements that we've got in Hyper-V 3.0 is our virtual machine import. As we move virtual machines from, let's say, a production environment or to another environment, we may want to export that virtual machine and import it. And one of the areas that people have complained about in the past is that the import utility or the import script wasn't the sharpest, and it didn't always pick up every settings. We've made some great improvements here with Hyper-V 3.0 that allows us to be able to have much better import from an exported virtual machines. As I mentioned, we have a new file format to store the storage areas for Hyper-V 3.0. This is VHDX. Instead of the old VHD files, we're now using an OpenXML file format. This allows us to get around the 1 terabyte limitation. As you can see now, we get up to 64 terabytes of storage in a single VHDX file. Now, we can have multiple VHDX files for a standard virtual machine. Allows us to be able to have great, better resiliency and much larger virtual machines in their file format storage. So before we take a look at the demo, let's talk about what you can do today to get ready for all these new features. As you see in my new Next Step slides here, you can go download a copy of Windows Server 2012 180-day free evaluation copy today. If you follow aka.ms/hwws2012, you can go out there today and take a look at the free copy of Windows Server 2012 and set it up for yourself. Next up, the next video shows a demonstration of some of these new features.